Welcome to Season 3 of E-Commerce Fastlane, Episode 93.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by ShipBob, the best-in-class order fulfillment company for small to mid-size Shopify brands. ShipBob powers two-day and three-day shipping and fulfillment for thousands of direct-to-consumer brands. They've also been fully operational during the coronavirus across their 9 fulfillment centers in the U.S., Canada, and Europe. ShipBob is also a tech-enabled 3PL that fulfills e-commerce orders for direct-to-consumer retailers. Their mission is clear: to make your Shopify brand successful by providing best-in-class logistics so your customers don't go elsewhere. With reliable fulfillment services, warehouses near your customers, and connected technology that powers the fulfillment network, they will help improve transit times, shipping costs, and the delivery experience for your customers. So check them out today at shipbob.com. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, new episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Or you can also sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when a new show is being released. Now, my guest on today's episode is David Waltzman, who's the Director of Strategic Partnerships from a brand called Feedonomics. And what they do is they combine the best-in-class technology and service to list your products everywhere where people are shopping online, including Google Shopping, Amazon, Facebook, and more. And Feedonomics really is a service for many of the world's largest advertising agencies and brands, and including a 30% of the top 1,000 internet retailers. So it's a pretty powerful solution. And it's interesting where it actually pairs data and the human element. They're not strictly just a data aggregator and transferring data over to these marketplaces. There's actually a human being that actually gets involved. And that's the reason why I had Dave on the show today, because I really want to share why they're unique and different to the marketplace. So hi, Dave. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Thank you for having me.
I mentioned a little bit at the top of the show, but on a high level, what does Feedonomics do and what problem are you aiming to solve for Shopify brands and store owners?
Feedonomics is a product feed platform that lets you easily optimize and list your products on hundreds of different advertising channels, marketplaces, social, and affiliate channels. We take your products from your Shopify store, optimize them in Feedonomics, and then get them listed on any shopping channel, such as Google Shopping, Amazon, Facebook, Instagram. We also shuttle orders and tracking numbers between marketplaces for your store. So while moving data around is an important piece, the magic happens with the quality of the data. So while there are lots of apps that let you set it up once and never look at it again, we take a different approach. The same way you wouldn't set up an advertising campaign and never look at it again, we believe that you can't have it all set and forget when it comes to product data. That's why we are full service. We have a team of 150 experts around the world and provide 24/7 support to our clients, helping improve their product data and solving errors that inevitably arise.
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed too. I said at the beginning, but I think it's very unique that you actually pair up a Shopify brand with an account person who actually is responsible and accountable. And I think you've used the words on previous calls. I do have brands that I manage that are using your service. And I remember you mentioning to me saying, hey, Steve, every single month we have to earn the business of the brands that we manage. So it's more than just spending $50 a month, $100 a month, or using some free connectors of the Shopify product catalog to these marketplaces. Those sorts of apps are available and they just kind of do what they do, just a direct sync. But nobody is really involved in working the program, working the data, and really understanding, you know, are there things that we can do through variants, through pricing? And there's so many different options that people just don't think about. I think that's the benefit of Feedonomics, is every single month you're earning the business of the customers that you do have. And I think that's really admirable.
Awesome. Thank you.
So let's talk about the founder's journey a bit. I'm always fascinated by why people build what they build. So are you able to share what you believe uniquely positions the founding team? I guess, number one, to have the desire to build the platform, and number two, to have the expertise to even want to create it.
Well, the story started back when Brian and Robert were working at a large agency in LA, managing advertising campaigns and product data for over 50 large retailers, including some pretty large traded companies whose stock price relied on their work. They were testing and tried out some legacy feed platforms out there in the marketplace, but became quite frustrated with the shortcomings of those platforms. Some were incredibly manual. You'd have to optimize one product at a time, or others couldn't handle more than 10,000 SKUs. Some had terrible support. You know, you'd ask a question and they wouldn't answer it for a week. Meanwhile, your performance is down and you could be out tens of thousands of dollars in revenue. So armed with this, and the fact that Brian and Robert were coders, they set out with a vision of creating a leading platform in the industry. Quickly realizing that other agencies and brands also had the exact same problem, Feedonomics was born. Since they lived the challenges and solved their own problems, the pitch was extremely compelling. But, you know, it's still a challenge in the beginning. Feedonomics isn't backed by any venture capital money. The money put into the business came from the founders' own pockets, and they keep reinvesting it every year. Every major decision, you know, is fairly carefully weighed since it's their own finances at hand. And the persistence has paid off because we've made great strides since the early days. You know, but all that being said, there has been some growing pains related to our rapid growth. We've been taking these lessons learned and really created a unique company, not only in terms of the technology, but also the service, commitment, and culture to our clients.
Thanks for sharing that. You know, one thing I was thinking about with the data itself, because once again, those listening today, most will have a Shopify store. Some are likely using either a competing product, either like a data kind of aggregator type solution, or some of the free solutions that Shopify has available in the Shopify App Store. And so what I'm trying to figure out a little bit here, and these, I have these calls all day with my merchants. How do you know if the data that's going out to these marketplaces, how do you know if it's good or bad product data? Because I'm always worried about the discoverability of it and if, in fact, what's being sent over these marketplaces is actually giving you the best opportunity for growth. So I just would love to hear how Feedonomics fits into that equation and understands what good or bad product data might be.
More often than not, the way you have your product data in your Shopify store isn't the way you want it on your advertising channels. On your website, you often want nice and sleek titles, brand, color, size. Those attributes aren't really necessary because people already know why they're there, and it may be listed in other places on the PDP. But brands like Nike, for example, won't put Nike in their product title or even tell you what it is. It might just say Air Jordan, right? But when you're on a platform like Google or Amazon, you're going to want to have a much more structured approach. Something like Nike Air Jordan, basketball shoes, size 12, black. Ultimately, you want to make sure that your product data is structured in the same way that people are looking for it, because it helps improve relevancy and it decreases the amount you have to pay for bids. So you want to make sure to have your brand, your color, size, and other descriptive nouns and adjectives in your product titles. We actually built a tool called FeedGrader that's able to show you all the low-hanging fruit with your product data, as well as how to improve it.
Is that FeedGrader solution, is that a link off the Feedonomics website?
It's inside of our platform. You're able to access it at any point in time. Okay. And it, you know, within moments, it gives you a brutally honest evaluation of your data quality.
Okay, well, that's good though. I mean, that's good to hear. I'll make sure I put that in the show notes, kind of where it is and what it does. I'm sure there's a blog post or two about the benefits of wanting to run that through. I know we talked offline, which we'll discuss a little later on in the show, about maybe getting an audit of your data feed and stuff like that, and just to help out those that are listening today. I'm just thinking a little bit about the product data in general, because if you're using some legacy or even some current systems right now or apps that are connecting to these marketplaces, you connect it once and then just you don't really think about it. If it's the Facebook feed, the Google, the Pinterest, there's lots of different apps that are syncing Shopify's product data over. But you've been clear saying that you don't always want to put Nike maybe in the title. And I'm worried about what people are actually querying on these marketplaces. And maybe it's a waste having Nike there when it should be Air Jordans or other ones, you said, the color and sizes and these sorts of things. And so How does Feedonomic improve or continually improve this product data, like for these marketing channels?
Well, first, I would say that you should constantly be looking at your product data. Many stores are adding products all the time. If you're in apparel, it may be related to seasons, or if you're in consumer electronics, you know, there might be more of an annual cycle, but the assortment's always changing and you want to be reviewing what's in there. Mm-hmm. I would also recommend, you know, searching for products and making sure that they're showing up when relevant keywords are entered in your desired channels. For example, if people are searching sneakers instead of Keds, maybe you need to A/B test different titles. We built a nice workflow around this with the tool called Feedtelligence, and we're able to look at converted search terms and opportunities for A/B tests at a category level. And we've seen performance boosts up to 50% by having those better titles. We can also always check the Seller Central and Merchant Center accounts to troubleshoot for standard errors and disapprovals. If you don't, a good percent of products could be ineligible and you may not even be aware.
Yeah, I had no idea about that. So are there any feedback from these marketplaces? Even though the feed is showing a certain product, it's possible that they could be refused. And do they get notification of that? It just seems like it's quite a laborious process of, well, most of them are in there and that's okay. And I guess we're just going to run with it because it's too much work having to deal with it. I think, is that where Feedonomics kind of fits into the equation?
Absolutely. It's common when we get a new client, what they understand is that they have data from their Shopify and that they're sending data to these different channels, but they don't always understand everything in between. And it's not uncommon to see a fair amount of the catalog not actually being advertised. And if you let these problems fester for too long, it may have even result in account suspension. You know, with regards to notification of these errors, we have alerting set up in Feedonomics so that we're always looking for those. We have an internal team that handles them if it's an integrity issue that we're able to fix. And if it's more on the client side at the source, then we'll reach out to them as well to make sure we nip it in the bud.
This is going to be an interesting question for you, I think, because I have a lot of brands that are in regulated markets. So they're either in cannabis or they're in CBD or hemp or a few others like that. I'm just curious, based on the fact that you have like thousands of customers that are using your platform, are any in those regulated markets? And then because these marketplaces, for sure, Google and Facebook are very particular on the type of language and type of products, if it's, you know, gambling or adult or regulated CBD and cannabis and stuff, it's just like, no way. So just curious on the pulse on the ground today about how can people in regulated markets potentially use Feedonomics as it relates to these marketplaces?
It's definitely a changing time. I'm sure that the stance on it today is different than it was several months ago, and same looking out another several months. I would say that the big ones, you know, like let's say guns, drugs, things like that are obviously banned on Google mm-hmm. Shopping. Mm-hmm. But that's not to say that those same rules apply everywhere. We have some clients in the guns and ammo space, and there's other destinations and CSEs that just focus on ammo, as an example.
I see.
And so so we definitely are familiar with where to go.
So there's more than just like the major players. There's also some niche marketplaces that can still have these feeds go out to and can help gain some traction in these products.
Absolutely. We send data to hundreds of channels around the world.
So let's talk about these channels. Like, what channels do you see gaining the most popularity today? Like, in light of COVID, this kind of social distancing, work from home, self-quarantine, there's all these things going on in the world right now. Would love to hear what you see as success and what it looks like today.
It seems that anyone with an audience is leaning towards becoming a marketplace, which is really interesting to see because it changes a lot of business models. But essentially, folks want to better compete with Amazon. They don't want their customers to go somewhere else when it's time to buy. And so we're seeing that in many places. We're also seeing Google, you know, the 800-pound gorilla with PLAs is, you know, getting into the marketplace space with Google Shopping Actions. Mm-hmm. Instagram launched checkout on Instagram. Facebook launched Facebook Marketplace. And so I think we're going to see more and more of these being released faster and faster. The biggest channels, you know, that we've seen are these marketplaces that are attached to social, like Pinterest and Snapchat. I would say, it's really best to get in early on these opportunities before they become very competitive and saturated.
Yeah, and I probably would add, I've also seen ads and things that are happening right now with TikTok, and it's really growing also. Are you seeing that on your end also?
TikTok is definitely new and growing. My personal opinion is I think it will be very meaningful one day. We're still exploring, how feeds are going to look in that world. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think it's going to have a greater presence.
So this show has, I'm sure you can appreciate this, but has a really diverse range of listeners, some in the early stage, some in the mid-market, and lots of enterprise people on Shopify Plus that are listening to the show each week. Since you have access to so many entrepreneurs, are you able to give us some advice of what you believe early stage entrepreneurs, their stores built on Shopify, it's probably still a side hustle for them. They're probably still working 9 to 5. What sort of advice would you give them today to help them continue to grow?
Make it easy for your customers to find your product. Unique names are really cool and could be differentiating, but you need to make sure that someone's going to get to that page so that they can buy your product. So make sure your Shopify experience is user-friendly. I would also say to make sure that your product attributes are as optimized as possible, right? Making sure you write your titles in similar fashions, to each other, but also as to how people would be searching for your products on Google or Amazon, and all of that will help keep your costs down.
Now, what about those listening today that, like I said, they're more in the mid-market, they would have a small team, they may outsource some of their marketing efforts. Sometimes it does make sense sometimes to double down your strengths and kind of outsource the rest. And maybe that is where Feedonomics is fitting nicely into the market. But like, what do you believe either the executive team or the marketing team, what should they be working on in the mid-market?
At risk of sounding like a broken record, I would say to look at your product data.
Yeah.
It's there. It's always changing. Your audience may be changing. You want to stay on top of that. We would recommend not sending data straight from Shopify to those different channels that you're interested in, whether they be social, PPC, or marketplaces. It's really important to optimize for each channel specifically. Mm. If you don't, you probably won't perform that well. And if you do get sales, the conversion costs are going to be higher than they need to be. I would also recommend that if you need to focus in one area to really lay a strong foundation, we see that as Google Shopping. A lot of different destinations derive their feed specs from Google Shopping, or will even take a plain Google Shopping feed. So we really recommend cleaning that up first and using it as the master before creating all the variants. There's also some other channels that can be low-hanging fruit to grow. We see a lot of activity on Facebook with their dynamic product ads, as well as Microsoft ads. And you really don't need a large budget to get started. So we recommend exploring those for sure. And then, as far as, staying omni-channel, which I think is what everyone wants to do these days, and keeping profitability up, you just always have to be on the lookout for what's new and not be complacent with what worked last year.
Yeah, we always talk about, having a data and strategy driven approach to growing and scaling. And I think it's, having these data feeds, these marketplaces, is not a set it and forget it, even though some of these aggregators are linking up, to these marketplaces based on whatever's in the Shopify store, and however they're pulling that data, it's just not completely optimized. And I think that's, I guess, one of the benefits that I see as Feedonomics being a leader in this space versus dedicated apps or even other competing solutions that are strictly just a monthly fee for, transferring the Shopify data over to these marketplaces, adding the human element in there. Are you able to, I guess, share some little bit of details on that? Like, so if someone was to become a Feedonomics customer and they feel that, yes, I want to expand out into other marketplaces, but I also want them optimized as best as possible for conversions and lifetime value. So can you just walk us through quickly what an onboarding sequence could possibly look like for someone listening today?
Onboarding is typically, let's say, around 3 weeks, a really small catalog, maybe a couple weeks. There's a lot of, blood, sweat, and tears that goes into that from our onboarding team. I would say that the largest time factor is typically communications back and forth with the client. Mm-hmm. So if you're ready to go and have the bandwidth and are able to just, give us all your attention, it's a pretty quick process. The steps would be to connect to your Shopify store. We have a several-click process to do that through our API. So bringing data in is fairly straightforward. We then go through the optimization process and then choose the channels that we want to go to. So we'll start off with Google Shopping and then expand to any others. Once that's all set up, if you want to add on, let's say, a new social channel like Snapchat, you just submit a support ticket and our full service team will take it over from there.
And then understand that every month there is some kind of reporting and a walkthrough of the account manager that's managing each account as far as the performance and the tweaks to the account and the data and things that they've done. Can you share some details on that?
Sure. So with day-to-day tactical things, like let's say error resolution or alerts from the Google Merchant Center, that's all included in our standard service. And we have a dedicated team to handling all those alerts when they pop up. If you're looking for more of a proactive enterprise experience where we're working with you on strategy and recommending new channels, doing split tests on images and on the titles and fixing up descriptions to be more effective, then that would be our enterprise service. And in that scenario, we have dedicated enterprise feed managers and marketplace specialists that live and breathe your account and make sure, you know, we're looking forward as to more of a reactive service.
Very cool. Because that's the level that I have a few brands that are on Feedonomics on that enterprise level. And they love it. And they love meeting every month and talking to their account manager. So let's talk about the future for Feedonomics. Are you able to share any North Star highlights for the rest of 2020, partner alignment, innovation? It just feels warm and fuzzy to understand, hey, here's where we are today, and here's where we're taking the company next 6 to 8 months.
The North Star right now would be more intelligent automation. Our engineering team has been growing quite a bit, and that's not going to slow down anytime soon. So we want to make sure that our internal teams and our clients are able to continue to scale with less effort. I'd say that our biggest challenge when we're onboarding a feed for the first time is categorization. So Google product categories, you know, there's about 5,500 of them. You know, Amazon has over 25,000 categories. As new marketplaces pop up, they each have their own. We spend a lot of time on categorization. And so we're looking at a lot of automation efforts in that regard that we think can cut that time in half with AI. We're also quite fortunate that our founder's father is our chief scientist, and he's quite a prolific pioneer in the field of AI. You know, has won a Turing Award and a variety of other achievements, like working on the IBM team that defeated the great Garry Kasparov in chess. So we have a leg up in that space, and we're just going to be getting stronger.
Beautiful. Well, I'm looking forward to all this innovation that's happening. You know, it's nice to be able to have these feeds, but it's also nice to think, are there things that we can do to the feeds, or are there some best practices and things that can be implemented and some recommendation engine built into it? Nice that you're going to be start integrating AI into feed optimization and success on these marketplaces. So I'm excited as that develops. We are nearing the end of the show, though, for today. Do you have any closing comments or any takeaways that you would like to leave with our listeners today?
Hopefully you've gotten where my head is at on not setting it and forgetting it with data.
Yeah.
Again, data is so important so that your marketers start on the best foot when setting up their campaigns. I would also say, without giving the TLC needed to your inputs, why would you expect to get maximum outputs? And so we're really there to be an extension of your team and provide that white glove service to do that.
Very cool. And how can people learn more about the Feedonomics solution?
You could check out our website, feedonomics.com. We're also on all the common social medias as well. Just look for Feedonomics.
I mentioned this before, but we spoke offline before recording this morning, and I understand that you'd like to offer a complimentary kind of feed audit for those that are listening today, just to see if Feedonomics is a potential opportunity for those listening today. Can you share some of the details on how they can take advantage of that?
In the notes for the show, you'll see a link for that complimentary feed audit. This takes us a few days to turn around. There's no commitment associated with this. We think it just provides a lot of great knowledge for you. It's going to be based off of Google Shopping best practices, because we think that's the basis for success. And it'll also show some suggestions of what we would do. All we're going to need to get that started is a sample feed file. So you can either send us what's from the GMC, or if you have a CSV, we could take that in and get to work.
There's all different people listening today, and they're in different maturity levels, and they're a different part of their entrepreneurial journey. And some may not be in the sweet spot of being able to get involved with Feedonomics today, but certainly adding your thought leadership and offering this free audit certainly is very helpful for those, no matter where you are in your journey. So thanks for offering that. I'll make sure that it redirects to this appropriate landing page. It'll be ecommercefastlane.com/Feedonomics. So it's FEEDONOMICS, Feedonomics. That'll redirect to the landing page for that offer. And once again, really appreciate David. Thanks for coming on the show today, sharing, you know, your obvious passion towards this, the team's passion. I'm excited for the future, where this is headed. And I'm glad we were finally able to record today.
Sure thing. Thank you for having me, Steve.
All right. Take care. This episode was brought to you by ShipBob, one of the fastest growing tech companies in America that's powering the direct-to-consumer revolution. Join over 3,000 e-commerce brands that choose ShipBob as their fulfillment partner and start scaling your business by delivering remarkable customer experiences. You can get more details by heading on over to shipbob.com. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.